Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Whichever it is for you, here's the Morning Scramble
with Claire and Eric,
a Z102.9 podcast.
Enjoy.
Everything we just talked about, we should have actually had a conversation on the radio, but we didn't. So you'll never hear it.
It's just funny to me that we work together. We've already been in the same room for an hour.
Yes.
We should have at this point already said good day, good morning, hello, and taken in what the other person looks like. It's like we get into this room and we start our broadcast day and we're both struck by, new sweater? Oh, did you do something with your hair? Oh, have you always had a beard?
We have three work days. We have an hour.
Yep.
Then we have this, and then we have after this.
Yes.
And we treat all of them differently.
We do.
We talked briefly this morning. You had to get up a little early. Your husband wasn't feeling well.
Yeah.
So you're going on a little less sleep.
Before my alarm, and I am telling you now, I'm feeling just a little bit loopy.
I get it. Uh-huh. I've been there. Did you just get up then when he got up?
No, I was like, I'm going to fall back asleep.
Oh, did you try to fall back asleep?
At least 20 minutes. I did not.
I woke up 10 minutes before the alarm. And, you know, then it's like, why bother?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Just get up.
Just get going. I might as well have because there was no sleep to be had.
Well, I was just asking in this room. I don't know why I didn't ask you in the other room.
Yeah.
If that was a new sweater.
No.
And you said no. And then I don't believe you.
Yes.
I'm challenging you like you're on the witness stand just to catch you in a lie.
No, it's not a new sweater.
When did you buy it? Show me your receipt.
I wore it all last year. It might be new to last year, which is a sad state of my closet. If you don't recognize it because it's only a year old. I don't know.
That could be it.
Are you working for the Fruit Strike gum people? Because you have a zebra on your shirt
that is
multicolored.
You're going to lose the flavor of me very fast.
It's delicious. As soon as you pop the Fruit Stripe gum in your mouth, it is amazing.
And that flavor goes away.
Just gone in an instant.
This was a Christmas gift last year,
yeah?
I think.
From the Fruit Stripe gum company.
Fruit Stripe people.
You got it directly from Fruit
They're
Stripe.
They're trying to woo me as a spokesperson.
Hey, zebra didn't make it, but we think you've got longevity.
We think a striped bearded dancing Eric Hansen.
Yeah.
That'll sell some more Fruit Stripe gum.
That'll get him chewing. See, he can chew in everything.
Great out of the box, loses flavor instantly.
Ah,
Fruit Stripe.
Fruit Stripe gum.
Dancing Eric Hansen.
Now dancing Eric Hansen.
Now with a beard. Yeah, I don't know why there's a zebra, a multicolored zebra on my... I think it's the maker of the sweater.
It's fun. It's,
yes.
Yeah. Zebras made that sweater.
Which is hard to do, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
For one, they're not in a world of color. They're just black and white.
That's why we appreciate it more.
Yes.
Because it was made by real zebras.
And I don't know how you sew with hooves.
Yeah. It's not easy, let me tell you.
But it's handcrafted.
You had to know what those zebras went through to make that sweater. You'd appreciate it just
a
little
more. My zebra-crafted sweater.
And Merriam-Webster, not to be left out of all of the other dictionaries who are already announcing their words of the year.
I saw this advertised, but I didn't see the word.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What's the word?
Well, I appreciate this because dictionary.com just gave us 6-7.
That's not a word.
It's not a word.
That's a trend.
Merriam-Webster's word for 2025 is slop.
Slop?
Specifically, AI slop. They define it as digital content of a low quality when it is produced, unusual quantity by means of artificial intelligence. So when you ask it to make an image and it gives you something that looks ridiculous with six fingers.
That's digital slop.
That's digital slop. It's not these like fine crafted, like, wow, this is amazing. It's kind of missing the mark.
I think it's two things. I think it's the fact that it created that not great image. And then the fact that there is an endless supply of those.
Yes.
So now you are just the mire of slop, right? Like there's just so much of it.
The mire
of slop. There's just too much slop.
There's a lot.
Yes.
There's a lot. I think we just did a video in which producer Ben used AI to kind of make some images.
Right.
That we had to describe to each other. We call it lies in disguise.
I wouldn't consider that slop per se.
I would.
You would?
Yeah, like some of those things.
It had purpose, though.
Well, it had purpose for us.
Right.
But the things that it's creating, like your dad sent an old lady crashing a sled into a shed. It's not real. It's just kind of like...
So the fact that it's fake, is that what makes it more slop?
Fakey stuff. Yeah.
Interesting.
Unintelligent things. Just things that we're creating or the AI is creating that we don't really...
Maybe the better way to look at it is creativity with no use. There's no purpose for that.
True.
That makes it
slop. And ours did have purpose. We used it for good purpose.
We did.
We used our human brains to use it for purpose.
Yes. I think a human got involved, so that helped.
Mm-hmm.
It made it less sloppy. Is that a good way to look at it?
Yes.
Yes.
Cut out the slop.
Less slop.
Lay it all out there.
Brace yourself.
What's on your mind?
It's mind-blowing, isn't it?
Time for some brain show and tell.
What's on your mind?
There's a new texting scam going on. And a phone scam. How do I know? Because I was targeted.
Victim?
Yeah. The new iOS on your phone now will make the caller leave a message if you don't know the number or if it's not in your system.
Oh, really?
So I had this message pop up yesterday. Hi, Detective Cruz from Linn County Sheriff's Office. Please give me a call back. Phone number. Thank you.
Whoa. Whoa.
Couple things.
So wait.
Yeah, go ahead.
What did you do?
Well, couple things caught my eye. One, I don't know who this person is. I don't know who Detective Cruz from Linn County Sheriff's Office is. And two, you and I deal a lot with our public officials.
Yeah.
And every number in Linn County has the same prefix, and this is not that number. It's a 319 number. So I called the Linn County Sheriff's Office and said, hi, do you have a Detective Cruz on staff? And she didn't say yes or no. She said, why are you asking? I said, well, I just received a message from, and I have a feeling it's not legit. She says, correct, it's not. They will call. They will pose. I find it interesting they picked a deputy that doesn't exist
right
in our area. Because the only other thought I had was, could it be like a public information officer, since I am a news person?
Right, and they need you to do a story.
They wanted a story.
Yeah.
So I basically reported it to the sheriff's office that it's going around. They were already aware that it's been going around. I brought it up in conversation later that day to somebody else, and someone else had mentioned it to them that they were also contacted by the sheriff's office.
But did they pursue it, or did they shut it down as well?
Well, they did not pursue it either.
You get some sort of like authority figure like that, it's like your stomach falls, and you just want to do something to fix it or make it right.
In the instant it happens, you gravitate to you want to do what's right.
Yes.
And then your brain just races. Like, what did I do wrong that would prompt that phone call?
Or what's going on in the world that they would need me as a witness or something?
If you take it in real time, when I had the luxury of going, wait, like when I had a little time to investigate, you could just start to piece it together. Like, what county business on the sheriff's off? Like, land sale? Like, are they coming after me? Like, okay, that didn't make sense. They don't stop you for speeding, right? It can't be a traffic ticket.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a warrant, they don't call you.
They just go get you.
They just go get you. So, buyer beware. There's a phone scam going on right now in Linn County with people posing as officers. And thank goodness, one, I'd set up this basically step that he had to go. I can't believe he left a message.
I know.
Right?
That's kind of surprising.
I know. And again, not unless you get it again today and like, oh, maybe this is a legit thing. But I'm on the county's staff page. I called the sheriff's office and they didn't say, oh, wait, yeah, we've been looking for you.
No, let me connect you right away.
Let me connect you right away. So just beware. That's happening right now because it just happened to me.
Oh, that's kind of creepy.
It's no fun.
No. I forgot to tell you my story. It was not my story to tell because it all happened to my husband. I wasn't even there. But he was driving, and he got into a slight fender bender. It was all the other driver's fault. It was an Uber driver. He needed to make his turn to go get his pickup, and he turned right into my husband. He's like, I was right there. And he's like, I know. And he even told the police, bless his heart, that it was his fault. I don't think you're supposed to do that. But it was great. Thanks to him. Thanks to his insurance. But, you know, it always takes some time for insurance companies to talk and figure things out. So the car is now getting fixed.
At the body shop.
But we have a temporary vehicle for Nick to get around because it is such a busy season. I'm not there in the morning, so somebody's got to get the kids to school. So he needed some wheels. And luckily, thanks to the insurance, they are getting him a car. And the car, we did the whole pickup and exchange last night. We've got a nice little blue car that I have decided to name. It's perfect because I think Justin Bieber decided the name for me. I'm calling the car Peaches.
Why is the car named Peaches?
Number one, it has a Georgia license plate. Number two, it smells of weed.
Well, we know where that came from.
I mean, this car has been everywhere. Georgia, it's been to California, and it reeks of it.
Time for The Buzz with Danson Eric Hansen on Z102.9.
A military official is releasing the names of the two Iowa National Guard soldiers killed Saturday in Syria. 25-year-old Sergeant Edgar Torres Tovar of Des Moines, along with 29-year-old Sergeant Nate Howard of Marshalltown, killed when an ISIS gunman stormed into a meeting. Governor Reynolds ordering all flags in Iowa at half-staff until sunset the day they are buried. Two other Iowa Guard soldiers were wounded in that attack. They were flown for treatment outside of Syria. They're in stable conditions. As we start to permanently eliminate the penny, area banks and credit unions updating customers on new policies and procedures. Your bank will approach it their own way. I do have an account at Green State, and I got this notice at the end of last week. Pennies will be accepted for deposit. You cannot withdraw any more pennies. If you are cashing a check, meaning I would like cash back, please.
Yes.
Cash totals will be rounded down to the nearest 0 cents or 5 cents, and the pennies will go to your account. So you're never getting a penny in your hand ever again.
Okay.
Or if you prefer, you can cash and round up. So if you have a check for $12.83, they will give you $12.80. 3 cents goes in your account. Or they could put $12.83 in and give you out $12.85. They'll just take 2 pennies from your account. See how it works?
Okay, I see now.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you read the whole thing.
When I got that email, I was very confused also.
Yes, I was like, wait a second.
That's how that is working right now. And that's, again, just Green State. Every bank is going to be approaching that differently. What's got us feeling all right? The animal shelter in Hanover County, Virginia, who had to rescue that drunk raccoon.
Yeah.
Has turned a hilarious nationwide story into a major fundraiser for the shelter.
How?
They had shirts, hoodies, and bumper stickers made that says, Trashed Panda. With the outline.
That's amazing.
The outline of the raccoon.
On the bathroom floor.
Slightly illustrated, but on the bathroom floor. They did add a bottle of tipped over booze next to it.
Yes.
It has raised more than $250,000 since they went on sale.
Trashed Panda.
Trashed Panda. You can buy these still for the next 4 days.
Okay.
If you go online, this is in Richmond, Virginia. It's a company called bonfire.com. You got to look up Trashed Panda. It's a fundraising site that does shirts and t-shirts for local nonprofits. So that's how you get to it.
How
so
fun.
Bonfire.com, search Trashed Panda.
Good for them.
And you got about 4 days left to order a variety of merchandise and support that animal shelter in Hanover County. That's got us feeling all right.
And now, a pop culture update we'd like to call Z's Sleaze. With Claire.
More information is coming together about Rob Reiner and his wife Michelle's death. Apparently, a lot of eyewitnesses saw that Rob Reiner and his son Nick, the prime suspect in this grisly murder, got into a very loud public argument on Saturday night. They were both invited to Conan O'Brien's Christmas party, and sources say that Nick overall was kind of giving off creepy vibes to everybody at the party, making people uncomfortable, approaching them and saying, oh, hey, are you famous? And it was weirding people out. So Rob approached him and they got into an argument. We don't know exactly what that argument was about, but then they left shortly after that argument. Friends, sources told TMZ that Michelle had been telling friends over the last couple of months that she and Rob were at their wits' end over Nick's mental illness and drug abuse issues, and they'd tried everything and weren't sure where to go next after that. Unfortunately, now is the time people start digging up things like old interviews. There was a 2018 interview with Nick Reiner where he talked about his drug dependency and some issues that came out of that. This, I mean, obviously dealing with some demons, and it was actually their bodies were discovered by their daughter, Romy, and she was the one that told the police that you need to look for my brother. My brother is the person you need to talk to. So they did find him 15 miles away on Sunday night at a gas station near USC campus. And he's being held without bail and he is on suicide watch right now. So very sad, especially this poor family. This
close
to the holiday, just awful, awful, awful. He is expected to be arraigned in court at some time today. So we'll see if anything comes out of that. need something a little bit more positive. I told you about Camila Cabello was in Iowa and met up with a bride and groom and just happened to be able to perform at their wedding this past summer, which was such a cool moment. Their first dance together, and you get an international singer to perform.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. It happened again, this time across the pond in England. Groom's mother had reached out to Chris Martin. I don't know what connections she has, but she reached out to Chris Martin and asked if he could send a video message to her son, James, and his new bride, Abby's wedding. And he's like, I'll do you one better. I'll show up in person.
How does this come together?
I don't know.
The one in Iowa makes sense because it was happenstance and happen chance.
She's
right?
Already going to a wedding.
She's at a bar.
Time's worked out.
Conversation. Okay, I'll sing a song. This is like, how do you reach out to Chris Martin?
I don't know what kind of connections she had, but only the bride and groom, and then, of course, mother of the bride, knew that this was going to happen. And it worked out, like, the focus was totally on the couple. It was their first dance together, and they get a guest singer to come into the room, and nobody knows who it is.
I would have assumed there would have been some cheering for him. Well, maybe we didn't get that
nobody knew it
who
was
it was?
Him.
What?
Yeah, he's just a guy wearing a white beanie, and he starts performing All My Love. And it was only after he left that guests were like, oh, hey, that was Chris Martin, because they tried to make it not a very big
deal. I think I like that better.
I do, too.
I like that approach.
The guests were all, you know, kind of realizing what they had just experienced
right.
after he was out of the room, and the focus stayed on the couple in that moment, which was all about them. So it was kind of a beautiful gesture, I think. Nicely done, Chris Martin.
Nicely done, groom's mom.
And whoever you are, mama, you did good.
Mother-in-law of the year now.
No kidding.
If you think about it.
Good luck, Abby. Okay, celebrities, they're just like us. Sometimes they get scammed too. Just ask Melissa Jo Hart. Melissa Joan Hart saw an ad for a Christmas dress, and she was like, this dress is fabulous. I have to have it. She shared the picture of what she thought she was ordering. Velvet. Gold detailing, flower appliques. The top has a velvet, red velvet, deep V, and the bottom skirt was full. And
that is stunning.
Green. It was absolutely beautiful. Would have looked great at her holiday. But what she got in the mail looked like a cheap Spirit Halloween costume version of the dress that
no.
she ordered. It was like a t-shirt dress with a V-neck, and then it had everything screen printed on it. You could see through the dress. It was awful. So she posted her fail, comparison pictures of each picture, and said, ordering online sucks. Just don't fall for those AI-generated photos.
I mean, part of me is like, at least she got it. But I didn't even consider that it would be an AI-generated photo to look like the product.
Right?
Right?
That's a thing. Be careful about the sites that you use and the things that you click on.
This year, I didn't do it. I would always go to Instagram because I'd get an ad. And it was usually a third-party seller selling somebody else's thing. And I'd be fighting for it until March or April.
Yeah.
I thought the story was going to end with her not getting it, which is what seems to happen this time of year.
No, she got something, but she was so disappointed
ugly.
By what she got. That's what we like to call
Z's Sleaze.
And we are back in the Z102.9 Test Kitchens. Kind of the test bar, I guess, is a better way to describe it.
Claire, the test bar.
Claire found an article online that said the trend right now for soccer moms as a way to survive the holidays, or you actually would serve this at a party.
I think it's just like, this is a just me thing. Like, I need a little something. And
this is what I'm doing.
Ice cream, so I'm having
this time of year, red wine float. Red wine floats. So we, buy local. We've got some Blue Bunny ice cream in the freezer. Producer Ben has dished it out single serve style. And then you went to your favorite watering hole, Claire, and bought boxes of Merlot.
Just like a warthog.
Cabernet. And then we also have a sweet red.
Your local watering hole?
It's like a wildebeest.
Yes. And I only drink red wine.
Once they peeled her out of there. I was thinking we would try this dry to sweet, if you like that approach.
I think that's the appropriate way to approach a tasting, because we don't want to like ruin our palates. We are going to start with a Merlot. I believe that's probably going to be the driest of the red wines that we have.
Now, I feel it appropriate this holiday season to pour a glass first.
And you
just,
do?
Just, yes.
I think we'll get enough in the float.
Just so we get a flavor of it before it touches the ice cream, so we know if there's any change to the flavor.
Okay.
I'm not saying chug it. Don't do a shot of wine.
It's just a sip.
Just a sip.
Okay.
And then just pour that into your float.
Okay.
That was my idea.
That's all. That's nice.
It's a nice, velvety Merlot.
Got a little bit of a bite on the back end.
That's what I like about
it. But it's also wine out of a box.
Hey, what do you want? It's won a gold medal, though, according to the box. Okay, we're going to pour the Merlot.
I'm going to put that right onto my ice cream. Ooh, okay. It does make a pretty color.
I like the color a lot.
The Merlot is kind of purpley, so it just kind of coats the white ice cream and makes a purple coating.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a bite.
It looks like grape soda floats.
A little bit. You're right. Okay, vanilla ice cream and Merlot.
Oh, don't love it.
Those flavors don't like each other.
No, they are fighting.
Whatever was on the end of that Merlot is coming out right at the beginning.
Yeah,
with the
ice
cream. I think
that this is a little too dry.
Mm. Boy, I stand corrected. I really thought dry was going to work with this ice cream. It is not.
Maybe it's the vanilla and the something about the
it's just
flavor
not working.
Of the Merlot.
It's just not working.
Because it says it's supposed to end with a...
Mm.
Deep
no.
richness and flavor that ends with a smooth, concentrated finish.
Well, that's by itself, right? It does not pair well with ice cream.
But
it does
even
not
by
pair
itself,
well on ice cream.
I didn't think the finish was good.
All right, I don't like that.
Uh-uh.
It's getting worse, by the way, with every bite.
But I like that you haven't given up on it.
You well, you mixed ice cream and wine. How would I not give up on
you
it?
You keep sampling it no matter what.
That's
and
because
that shows a level of dedication and commitment.
To science as well as to wine, to all of the above. Okay, well, you prepare our next two ice creams. I'm going to get opening the Cabernet. You bought Deep and Dark.
Deep and Dark.
Is the, I guess.
Rich aromas of dark fruit with lingering notes of berry.
Mm.
Now, that, I think, has potential to make this actually taste pretty good.
Because we're expecting in, like, the wine spectrum, this to be more of a medium, not a too dry and not too sweet.
Listen to me.
I think that sounds right. Sounds right to me. Okay, we've now poured our glass of Cabernet Sauvignon. Now we're going to try it first.
Cheers to you.
To your health.
Yep, and to your health.
Happy New Year. Much lighter than
Merlot.
I like
that. Okay, that is a...
Ends...
A lighter...
Well, that's a
fruitier.
Clean... Fruit... Yes. Are you getting hints of raspberry?
Oh, I was going to say... blackberry.
Currant.
Mm-hmm. Currant, definitely.
Yes.
And grapes.
Okay. Well, clearly grapes. Of course there's grapes.
Mm-hmm. I know my wine.
We're dumping the Cabernet now into... I almost spilled it.
Right.
I almost...
Don't do that.
Well, I didn't want to do that.
It's not very festive.
Okay.
Again, I do like the way it looks. Like, a red wine float just looks nice.
Could you imagine, like, serving this at a dinner party? Would you do that?
By the way, if we could get it to taste good.
I don't know what ice cream scoop we have in the building, but that is the perfect sphere that Producer Ben put in your cup.
Producer
it looks
Ben,
fantastic.
He could be an ice cream scooper professionally.
Okay, now we're trying Cabernet with vanilla ice cream. Here we go. No! I'm getting that same weird taste I got on the last one.
I don't know, man.
Something about this is not working.
Like, if I was served this at a dinner party,
yeah,
I'd be like, okay, and I would fight my way through
it. No.
But this is not something I'm going to reach for.
Is there, like, lactic acid in the ice cream? Is that fighting? What?
Yes,
I'm trying to figure out what.
Yeah.
What's not working.
Is
because,
it,
Claire, when we did champagne and vanilla ice cream.
It worked.
It was heaven.
Is it the effervescence? You know, that kind of bubbly?
I think there is a chemical reaction that's going on between whoever's in the red grape and this ice cream. Because it tastes chemically, it's just bad.
And there's something about the fun of a root beer float is that it does something to the ice cream. It kind of makes that crust
on
the
ice cream. It's a little foam and then a little crust.
This doesn't do that. I like the color that it's creating, but I don't like the flavor.
Oh, God. This is not.
Well, you keep eating it, though. You haven't stopped then. You're like, Oh, God, it's so bad.
at some point, it might get good.
This could all be solved by you putting it down.
Oh.
Quit putting it in your mouth.
I'm just searching for the good bite.
Quit putting it in your mouth, Dancing Eric Hansen.
If I had a dollar for every time I had to answer that, I'd have a lot of dollars.
So many dollars.
Okay, so far.
And then there was one.
Merlot, boo. Box Cabernet, also boo.
No.
We are down to Sutter Home.
Sweet Red.
Sweet Red, which may have been the very first wine I ever bought when I was legally of age.
I think so.
We are going to tackle that next. Stay tuned. More red wine floats coming up in Morning Scramble.
Mm-mm. Cooking up. What is that? It's Taste It Tuesday with the Morning Scramble.
C102.9.
In the back, we are in the test kitchens, or kind of the test bar.
The test bar.
Test ice cream soda fountain.
Mm-hmm.
We have been trying red wine floats with just blue bunny and vanilla ice cream. You bought a couple boxes, one of Merlot and one of Cab.
I would like to be clear, not the Franzia boxes. These are small boxes.
Why do you think people would have thought that?
Because I drink a lot of Franzia.
Why did you have to clear that up on the front end?
I just wanted to be crystal clear in case anybody tries this.
And both just didn't work. We like the Cab by itself. We're sipping the wine before.
Yeah, the wine was nice, but when you put it with the ice cream, they just start to fight.
Yeah, there's something I'm leaning into. You know, my brother's a chemist. Like the lactic acid of the ice cream is maybe mixing with the something something.
Here's some science words that I've heard my brother
sulfite,
science Greg
the
say.
The sulfite grapeness.
Yeah.
But now you have put all your chips on a sweet red is going to cure all ills here.
I have been saying that I think that a sweet red wine is the way to go with a red wine float. I just think that the sweetness of the wine is supposed to be more like a berry, and it's supposed to complement the ice cream. I think that that's what people are enjoying about the red wine float. This sweet red, by the way, is supposed to have fresh cherry and juicy peach flavors that are rich on the palate with a smooth, semi-dry finish.
Okay. Well, let's go.
Oh, it says serve at room temperature or try it chilled. So
well,
it be chilled.
We're technically doing both. It's been room temperature. We're going to try a sip of it first, and then we're going to throw it over ice cream and try it chilled.
All right, let's try
with ice cream.
Sweet red wine.
Oh, God. I do not like sweet wine.
No?
I don't like sweet red.
I don't mind it.
Okay, of course you don't.
Of course you don't.
Now I will say,
like the color of
the colors, the color of the black box Merlot and Cab was beautiful.
Beautiful and purple,
ruby or a garnet, and it glistened off the ice cream. This I'm just seeing chunks of the ice cream floating on top, and also kind of it's not as dark of a red color.
Yeah, this is more of a strawberry, where the other one was maybe more of a purple.
But the moment you say strawberry, then my brain makes this okay.
Okay.
Because like, oh, I'm approaching it like it's strawberry shortcake and there's some leftover.
Don't worry. It's going to be fine.
All right. Sweet red float. No. Did you buy normal ice cream?
This is not good.
Is this like ice cream product or
fake ice cream? I checked the box of the ice cream because I wanted to make sure I got real ice cream. And this is Blue Bunny.
Every one of these has had a metallic, or I don't even know how to describe it, taste. It's the second bite. I have more
you
ice cream to wine.
I like this now.
What did I tell you? If you keep eating it, it'll eventually be okay.
You know what? This one doesn't have as hard.
That first bite could have been a lingering on the.
Maybe our palates weren't ready for it. Now they're ready.
Nope, that bite just had it. Oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
This does not work.
But at the end of the day, we had ice cream and
it tastes like spoiled wine. It instantly ruined the wine flavor.
Yeah, I don't think that there's. If you're having a red wine float, it's an act of desperation. This is a cry for help.
This, which, hey, we got it from the internet.
Yep.
Which in and of itself is mostly a cry for
help.
Don't
do this, okay?
All right. All three flavors. Thumbs down on all three. Red wine floats. No way to go.
Don't do it.
That wraps up a Taste of Tuesday on The Morning Scramble, Z102.9.
Is it here yet? Is it on yet? Is it here yet?
Since kids don't come with instructions, we're here to help. It's Mom Traversy on Z102.9.
Coming off the floor of the gym.
Oh, boy.
Because I'm trapped while I'm lifting sandbags, so she lays these items on me. She's my trainer.
She's actually using you as a sounding board, which is a perfect sounding board because you've got a
a higher place to take her issue.
She knows I have an outlet for her.
Controversy.
She being my trainer, who is in a family where there are kids from different families, right? It's a blended family. And as they're getting older, she's finding herself, she loves the concept of the gift giving. She likes finding the things that the kids want. The problem is, as you have an older kid who wants something that's more expensive versus a little one, and now it becomes a game of, is it the value? Is it the volume of gifts?
True.
Is it, am I getting a big enough gift for them?
This is a really good question. That is why that is our Momtroversy. How do you approach gift giving with your kids? Is it equal number of presents, or is it looking at a dollar value at each item?
Phone calls are coming in at 200-1029.
I have the internal dilemma, but outwardly towards the children, it's be happy for your siblings and teach them to be proud of the gift that they gave them or got for them or the parents got for them, no matter the size or comparison to their own.
It's more just teaching, like, no jealousy amongst each other.
Jealousy is a normal emotion to have, but kind of helping them process it in a healthy way.
As part of that internal struggle, though, do you find yourself trying to stay at least within a similar dollar amount per kid?
You're talking yourself out of it all the time. Right?
Interesting, yeah.
Last minute.
Okay, everybody yeah. seems to be in the same boat. I love, though, that that it's a teaching moment also.
Yeah,
right. You do get caught up in the craziness of the wrapping paper everywhere. And
my husband accuses me of this every year. It's like every year you get closer to Christmas and you're like, it's not enough.
It is.
Yeah, we all don't have patience the whole time. So
yes, yes.
But
yeah.
Yeah. You try.
Appreciation is a skill
you.
For sure. Thanks so much.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
That is interesting. She brings that up and you mentioned it too. There's also that feeling that you feel like you're done.
Yeah.
And then for some reason, about the 22nd or 23rd, you feel like you missed it.
Yeah.
Like you didn't, the thing that you, that they're going to treasure isn't in the pile.
Exactly.
Is that what's driving that?
A little bit of that, a little bit of this issue too, is did I get the same amount for this person or is this a comparable gift to that? Like sometimes I try to keep things very similar categories. Like if this person gets a book, this person gets a book. If this person gets a game, this person gets a game. So that it's all very, very much the same, but they're two different ages. And sometimes you'll come up with a toy or a thing that they really wanted that just aren't the same, and I can't make a comparison between the two.
That's the question that's come into us from Mom Laura. Do you make sure that each child gets the same number of gifts, or do you spend an equal amount of money on each child? Would love your answer at 200-1029. What are you thinking for Momtroversy?
So for your trainer, what we usually do, because we're in the same sort of situation at our house, we have a his, mine, ours situation. And what we've done, and it's actually been like super helpful, it's really nerdy, but it works, is we create an Excel. Ooh. That way we keep track of number of gifts, the amount spent, and if there's a size issue.
Oh, okay. It also will track the size of the object?
Yep. Like what we'll do is we'll just put like big for the big gift.
That's awesome.
That way... That way we're like, okay, they have one big gift. They have one big gift. Oh, this kid didn't get their big gift yet. But, oh, they have the presents. Okay, this gift's going to go back. And it sometimes it's a pain in the butt. But honestly, it works out so good because we can keep track of how much we're honestly spending. If we're spending like close to the same amount on each kid and keeping quantities the same.
True. Now, does big matter though when it's a big high price item? Like even if it's a small thing like a cell phone or something like that, where it's an electronic device that is more expensive but physically small?
So we usually talk about that beforehand just because our kids are getting older. They're about 10 apiece for both of our older kids. And we get more sort of in depth with those conversations just because it's like, okay, they're kind of, you know, starting to think about Santa a little differently this year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, having those kind of conversations because they understand the value of a dollar. They do chores around the house. They earn money. So they're understanding it a little better.
Yeah.
So it's more just kind of up to us. Like if one kid gets a big gift that's more expensive, like they're going to understand, you know, that costs a little more money. And this is from mom and dad, but, you know, they don't understand, you know, Santa's in, you know, the North Pole and he's making everything. Money's not an issue there.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got the black Amex card. But you do. You also raise an interesting point too, because when you spread this across ages, you're looking not only at the types of gifts that they're asking for, but their comprehension of where gifts come from and the comprehension
and
of
their
money
value.
But I love the spreadsheet approach, and it does sound nerdy, but at least you know exactly you're tracking it, right? It's like Santa tracker.
Yeah,
it works so well. This hasn't been an issue for the last 5 years in our house because of this. Silly XL.
Well, Silly XL's doing the job.
It's doing its job wonderfully.
Yep. Thanks, Mom.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Morning Scramble podcast.
Catch Claire and Eric live weekday mornings 6 until 10 Central Time on Z102.9. Listen on your radio, on your smart speaker, or stream at KZIA.com.
Okay, have a good day.